I have written on my notes this morning, wow, what a week. And as I come into this week on last Sunday, and as I come into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I started to see and started to get reports in from things that our country was experiencing and get more in depth on what's going on in our country. And I saw Pennsylvania colored up as red and yellow and green. And what does that mean? You know, I'm just personally, I thought red, white, and blue looked all right. And I wasn't interested in green and red and yellow. But then just to see what the rules were for each level. And it just kind of was frustrating to me. And it kind of aggravated me. And I was doing good, though. And I was doing good throughout the whole thing. But I was just receiving these things that were going on in our country and in our state here. And then I experienced things like the rulemakers aren't following the rules, and I just that just kind of frustrated me. But I was doing good this week. Sometimes I'm kind of, and I use this Wednesday night, kind of like a Queen Anne's lace. You know what a Queen Anne's lace is? It's a little white flower that grows in the wild, and when you put that in water and you put food coloring in the water, and it sucks up that color, whatever that color is, and the flower begins to turn the color of the water. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I did that always as a kid. My mom would show us how to do that. And you could turn them red or green or blue. And sometimes I think what I'm planted in, I start to turn that color. And even then I'm planted in a world that's kind of ugly, it seems like to me, in some of the frustrating moments. And so I didn't want to suck that up. I didn't want to suck up that frustration and come out frustrated. I when I see the rulemakers violating the rules, and I see business closing, and I see unemployment running rampant, and I see murder, and then I see protests, and then protests turns into riots. And then I see burning and destroying property. I see looting and belittling, and I see more murder, and I see hate. And I see tensions are running high, and I see more murder. And then I see lives matter, and I will shoot you coming out of the same mouths of people. What is wrong with you? And then I went and I voted. I exercised my right to vote. And then I see if you vote Democrat, you're an idiot. If you vote Republican, you're an idiot. If you don't vote, you're an idiot. If you think voting changes anything, you're an idiot. I don't know if I'm an idiot or not. But all that tension, all that garbage that was happening, and everything, everyone must have the freedom to think. But if you think different than I do, you're an idiot. And just that frustration that's just around me, and it wasn't really getting into me, but I had to deal with it this week. I don't know about you, but I had to deal with that this week. And you're walking in the same world that I'm walking in. So you have to deal with all that emotion or all that whatever's going on in your heart. I see the local protest, the video shot in the local area here. And I was watching it, and it just seemed like whoever could say the F word the loudest was trying to win the argument. Just shut up! You sound like a bunch of dogs just barking at each other. That's doing nothing. Just shut up! I'm getting sick and tired, and I'm in a world that's going to, I don't want to become dark. I don't want to become sucking up this frustration. I want to become what God wants me to become, but I'm planted in a world, and I wrestle with that. And chaos and disorder being cheered on. And then in the middle of all that storm, there's personal challenges that each one of us are facing. My family faced a very unjust decision this week. We had to walk through that unjust decision. Just riled us up. And I'm planted in this world. I'm planted in this storm. And all of a sudden, my family is planted in this unjust situation. And I know some of you, I've talked to some of you. You're up against it. You're planted in this world, but you're also planted in a very trying situation personally. No one else is involved in it. And so fear and stress and what do I do? Do I fear? Do I stress out? Do I just deny it? Do I get angry? Do I lash out? Do I withdraw? Just to be honest, my go-to is anger. My go-to is grab it, strangle it, throw it away. That's my go-to, and that's not right. I don't want to go there. But if I stay flooded and planted in the frustrations and the anger and the hurt and the pain and the injustice that I see in our country and I see in our own lives, if I stay planted in that, then I become that, and that's not going to help. You don't add salt to salt water to make it clear. You don't add muddy water to clean up the mud. And I refuse in the name of Jesus, I refuse to suck that stuff up into my soul. This world's got enough barking dogs. It's high time that we have something that's different than that, that can bring the reality to this world, God's reality to this world. And I shared this on Wednesday night, but as I walked through the living room at 10:23 on Wednesday morning, from my office, I walked through the living room, and the TV had been on Pandora, playing worship music all morning. When I walked through the living room, I saw the TV was frozen. Just one message on the TV, and it said this. Pandora was asking me, "Are you still listening?" I said, I find that very interesting. As I come out of my office and I'm diving into the scripture, because the only way I can keep from smelling like the world is spend time with God. If I'm going to spend more time in the world, you're going to smell like the world. You're no more special than I am. You're going to smell like the world. The only way we can smell like God is to spend time with God. And I was spending time with God. I was in the Word of God. And I was studying the Word of God because I want to smell like God. And when I walked through the living room and I saw that message on the screen, "Are you still listening?" And all of a sudden, God spoke to my heart. He said, "That's me. Are you listening to me? You got a lot of barking dogs in your life, and so do you. But are you still listening?" And then under that message, I moved closer, and under that message it says, "We pay for each song we play, so we try not to play to an empty room." God said, "Man, I paid so much so I could give you this message. It cost the life of Jesus Christ so I could give you this message. And I want to speak, but I wrestle with speaking to someone who does not listen." Are you listening? Or do you want to smell like the world? Are you listening to me? I paid for what I'm giving for you to you. I've already paid for what I want you to have from me. Are you listening this morning? Are you listening? And then there was a blue box down underneath that you could respond. The only response you could have to that is this: "I'm still listening." To be honest, I grabbed the remote and I found that little blue box. And I pushed on it as quickly as I could and say, "God, I'm still listening." And all of a sudden, the song that was waiting to be played was overcome by Elevation Worship. And this is the chorus of that song. "We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one has overcome. For every fear, there is an empty grave, because the risen one has overcome." And I heard from God that morning. I heard that, yes, you're planted in this world, but you don't have to smell like this world. You're planted in that frustration. You're seeing things that make you angry. You're in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. You can listen. I paid for what I want to give you. I've already paid for it. I'm not asking for a dime from you. Just push the blue box. I got a message for you. I got a message. He's overcome. Do you want to be an overcomer? Yeah, I got a grave for every fear you got, for every frustration you got. I got a grave for that, because he has overcome. You don't have to go to the grave. It goes to the grave. He has overcome, and he's going to stand you up and brush you off, and you're going to be an overcomer. And I had a moment in our living room, all by myself, a dark living room with a crazy TV screen. But I was hearing from God. And I went back to my office and I looked up this passage of scripture. It says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed.
We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair or hopeless. We may be persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We may be struck down, but you're not destroyed, because we always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ may be in our bodies as well. You don't have to smell like the world, because Jesus is in you. Because Jesus has paid for what I want to say to you. He said, you need to see this world differently than what this world sees themselves. You need to see this world differently than what the protesters or the rioters at least are seeing this world. You need to see this world different than what your governor is seeing this world. You need to see this world different than what the senators of this world are seeing. You need to see the world different than maybe your neighbors see in this world. You need to see it differently. But you're never going to see it differently by listening to the world. You may be hard-pressed, but you're not crushed. You may be persecuted, but you're not abandoned. Why? Because Christ is in you. And the message that he has for you has already been bought and paid for. And he's ready to pour it into you. And I found myself in Matthew 5. And that's on the handout this morning. I find myself at the very first thing that Jesus said to his disciples. Because several times throughout the scripture, Jesus said, I'm sending you into the world. I'm sending you in, maybe like a lamb among the wolf. I'm sending you in. I'm sending you in. So I went back and said, God, I feel like that right now. I feel like you sent us in a world that so desperately needs the truth, that so desperately needs Jesus, that so desperately screwed up. For crying out loud, we're screwed up. So I went back to where he began to teach his disciples. I said, God, I want to think like you. I want my worldview to be equal to your worldview. I want to see this world as you see it. I want what you want for this world. I want what you want for me. I want it, God. I want it, God. I want it. I want more of you, God. I want to smell like you, God. And so he led me to Matthew 5, and I began to pour my heart and my soul into Matthew 5. And I believe I become more fragrant like God throughout the week, because I spent time. So here you go. This is where my spent time. This is what I've done in my office. This was my time with God this morning. And I drag it out here to you, and I just throw it around. But let me say again before I start into Matthew 5, you're never going to smell like this world needs you to smell if you're only looking at the world. We need to get into the presence of God. God's saying, are you listening? So Matthew 5, here we go. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and Jesus began to teach them, saying, and here it is, the core belief, the core of who they were going to be in this world. The core of when he said, I'm sending you out in this world. And when he reminded Paul that you're going to be hard-pressed, but you're not going to be crushed because Jesus is in you. This is the core of who we are. This is the core of smelling like Christ. And I began to unpack that. And first thing, we know this well. I'm not asking if we know this scripture. I'm asking if we smell like this scripture. There's a big difference in knowing something and smelling like something. And I know what I can get at the donut shop. I know what I can get at McDonald's. I know I can look online. I know their menu. I know it from memory. But if I'm going to smell like that, I need to go there. And when I go there, I begin to smell like that. Let's go there. This is how we begin to smell like God. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then what you're going to see is just the I statements that I wrote to myself this week. Just a whole list of I statements. The blanks this week is the I. That's it. Capital I. Now, I didn't fill in your I for you, because you got to fill it in for you. I can't write your I in there. You got to answer Pandora. You got to answer God. Are you still listening? You got to answer it. I can't answer it for you. That's why I didn't write your I for you. Because it's up to you. But this world needs us. This country needs us. This state needs us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I am bankrupt and in need of you, God. And as I penned that down this week, I realized that I am bankrupt. I got nothing. I got nothing, God. I got nothing apart from you. There's nothing I got apart from you. He said, you're going to do well. You're going to do well to realize that you're poor in spirit, that you're bankrupt without me. You're going to do well to understand that you need me, that you can't go an inch without me. I am bankrupt and in need of God. And then I wrote, I am incapable of walking out life on my own. I just say that, and I go to the mirror. I listen, I talk to the man in the mirror a lot. And I just remind myself, do you know that you're incapable of walking out this life on your own? You've got to know that, God says. You've got to know that, because if you try to walk it out on your own, you're going to stink. You're not going to be the fragrance of Christ. I accept God's empowering grace. I believe that all the provision of heaven, of kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is available. I believe it. And I'm believing it more and more, because he said, you know what? You realize you can't walk through this life on your own, where the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You're going to tap into the kingdom of heaven. But you're going to continue to try, and you're going to continue to combat the world's arguments with the world's arguments. You're not going to make it. You're that Queen Anne's lace, and you're buried in that garbage. You're going to start looking like garbage. You're going to start being the barking dog barking at another dog. I believe all the provision of the kingdom of heaven is available. I accept that kingdom provision. And I can remember in my office just having my arms out saying, God, I accept that provision. I accept that kingdom provision. I will walk in the kingdom provision. And I begin to have this moment with God. It continued throughout the week. I will walk in the kingdom provision. I want this world to walk in the kingdom provision. See, I was beginning to get God's perspective on this world. I was beginning to get God's heart for this world. The frustration and the anger and all the garbage that was going on and trying to infiltrate my spirit was subsiding to the presence of God, was subsiding to the Word of God. I want this world. I want this world to walk in the kingdom's provision. See, that's different than what I had planned earlier in the week. But I have a hunger. God's have a hunger. I think the heart of Christ is these. I want this world. Do you want God's worldview, or do you want the world's worldview? And that's how you look at the world. I want to look at the world like God looks at the world. He said, I want everyone to walk in that provision. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I feel the sting of the sin in the world. I'm feeling that, God. I feel the pain of sin in my own life. And God says, you're jacking yourself up with the sin that's in your world. The sin that's in your life, you need to get rid of that sin. And I found myself saying, I accept the comforts of God's forgiveness. I accept that comfort, God. I accept that comfort of your forgiveness, God. Because again, I now want to walk through this world on my own, God. And I want the kingdom provision, because I know that's how I walk successfully through this life. I know that that's how I am empowered to walk through this life. And not just become, not just become a barking dog. And I accept that comfort that comes from God's forgiveness. And then I said, I believe this world needs God's forgiveness. I will walk in that forgiveness. And as I said that, I can remember this week, as I said that, I will walk in that forgiveness. And then God says, and what are you going to do with it? And be ready to give it to someone else and tell someone else about it. I want the world to be comforted by God's forgiveness. And I've said this several times this week. I am a Second Amendment God, Second Amendment guy, hands down. But I'm a kingdom guy first. And I want to be a kingdom guy. I want to be a kingdom man. And so I find myself, my 38 going back down in my drawer, not sitting at my desk. And I found the Word of God coming up on top. And I see myself when I'm hungering more for God than making sure my gun is loaded. Oh, my gun's still loaded. But I'm a kingdom guy. And the more I spend time with God, the more He asks me, are you listening? I paid for this stuff. I want to give it to you. Push the blue button to respond that you're still listening. And I want this world to be comforted by God's grace, by God's forgiveness. I want this world to be comforted by God's forgiveness. I want this world to be comforted by God's forgiveness. I want our world to be forgiven by God. I want people to experience the forgiveness of God. I want them to walk in His grace. I want them to walk in Him. I am hungry for them to walk in God's forgiveness. And maybe you can think, and maybe you say, you're a little bit loco this morning. Don't tell me, because I'm not planning on changing. But God started to give me an enhanced worldview, a view that He had of this world. And He said, I want people to walk with me, and I want people to walk in my forgiveness. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And the meek are the mildness of disposition, or the gentleness of spirit. And before we see that, the weakness, we know that it's a work of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5. I can and want to be empowered with gentleness. I understand that this is not a form of weakness. I accept the power of gentleness. I believe this power has ability to defeat chaos. See, that's where you're going to have a lot of trouble, defeating chaos with more chaos, and that's what our world's doing. Our world is trying to defeat an injustice with injustice. It's not working. It's just not working. But we can defeat the chaos of this world with this meekness of God, with this power of gentleness, the ability that I believe this power has the ability to defeat chaos. And then I found myself saying, I want the world to know the power of gentleness. I want them to know this power. I want them to stand in God's forgiveness and walk in His forgiveness. And I want them to know the power of meekness, the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. The power to defeat chaos. Rather than being a chaos donor and a barking dog. Blessed are those, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. I feel the discomfort of spiritual starvation. God says, are you hungry for the truth? Are you hungry for righteousness? And I feel it. God, I was feeling it this week. I feel the discomfort of spiritual starvation. I desire to receive a kingdom portion of divine nutrition. I found myself desiring to receive that. I accept the nourishment of and from God. I found myself hungry for it, and I found God feeding me, and I found myself accepting and receiving and writing my own I in front of each one of these statements. I believe that this nourishment is the core calories for ultimate life building. God says, you want life. And you keep stating that Jesus has come to give you life and have it abundantly, but you don't hunger for it. Do you feel the starvation? Do you feel the starvation of this world starving for righteousness, starving for the truth, starving for God's way? And maybe we can justify, say, well, they push it away and push it away and push it away. I don't know how, but I want them to starve for righteousness. I want them to feel the starvation, not just realize they're starving, but to feel the starvation. And I want the world to hunger and thirst for what is right. Oh, baby, do I want that. I want this world to hunger and thirst for what is righteous. I want them to walk in God's forgiveness. I want them to walk in kingdom provision. I want them to walk and know the power of gentleness. But until I start walking there, I don't know if anyone else or if anyone around me can walk there. Because when I add chaos to chaos, but I got to add God to chaos. And God says, I'm planting you in this world. Don't suck it up. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. Because what's in you is greater than what is in this world. And you can become this fragrance of God, not this odor of the world. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I am open and honest with God and others. I am not pretending to be someone I am not. I accept the responsibility of seeing God. I believe that I will see God. And I want the world to see God. And up in Tioga County, there's a guy that's got this thing, it looks like a bomb, stuck in his lawn. It's like half buried. It's like off an old airplane. It looks like this bomb, tail fin sticking out of the ground. He's got it partially buried. And he's got this message on it. Prepare to meet thy maker. I just want to stop and slap the guy. See, he wants them to see God too. I don't want them to see God like that. I want them to see the God of love and grace and mercy, not the God of wrath and judgment. I'm hungry for people to see God. I want them to see God. I want the world to see God. 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The peacemakers are those who bridge the gap, striving to prevent contention and strife. And I found myself saying, I want to be known. I want to be known as a child of God. I want to bring a peacemaker's touch, not chaos, to all situations. See, I got to flesh that out some more. I don't know all that's included in the peacemaker's touch. That's where I'm going to pick this up in my own studies this week, because I want to know what a peacemaker's touch is. I think it's more than just peace. But I want to bring a peacemaker's touch, not chaos, to all situations. I believe and I can that I can and will defeat chaos and disorder. I believe that. I want the world to know the peacemaker's touch. My worldview has been altered this week, enhanced and reminded me. You're in this world, but you're not of it. And you're beginning to smell like it. Because you're making calls to elected officials and you got your 38 on your desk. That means you're starting to smell like the world when that 38 replaces your word. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. Verse 10, let me finish with this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I know for whom and what I live. I am willing to suffer and stand for what is right. And I'm wrestling through that in my life too. God, where do you want me to stand? What do you want me to do, God? Because I'm going to stand for what is right. No matter what it costs me, God, because I know from who I stand. I know who has called me. I know who has paid for what is coming into my life. I know who the one who said, are you still listening? I know the one who has made me greater. I know the one who has made me righteous and holy. And I will stand for what is right. But I'm going to get it from God, not this world. I am willing to suffer and stand for what is right. I accept the challenges of being a kingdom worker. I believe that persecution is designed to keep me quiet, and I will not be quiet. Because he's the way maker. Because he's the miracle worker. Because he's the promise giver. And this world needs Jesus. And it's not going to get Jesus from the church if we look like the world. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. And I will not have a world view as the world has a view of itself. And I will not cave. And I will not cave to leadership that doesn't know how to lead. And I will stand for what is right. I want this world to walk in the kingdom provision. I want this world to be comforted by God's forgiveness. I want this world to know the power of gentleness. I want this world to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want this world to experience this mercy-driven healing. I want this world to see God. I want this world to know the peacemaker's touch. I want the world to know the righteousness of God. Now that's the heart of Jesus. And I want the heart of Jesus. I am not going to become a barking dog. I am more than that. I am a kingdom man. And we are kingdom people. And I think God expects more out of the church than just barking. This world needs people who have the heart of Jesus. In 30 seconds, I'm going to say amen, pray, and we're going to go out of here. You've got to write your own I in front of those statements. But no weapon formed against us will prosper. I'm going, and I've said this several times from this wagon, this trailer. God's amping me and amping me and amping me. And I'm hearing more from God than I have in years. I don't know where he's taking us. But he's not sending us. He's going with us. And I'm going with him. I need the heart of Jesus. And this world needs people with the heart of Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that you have poured out on us. And Father, I pray that you would find people in this parking lot today that have your view of this world. Even though we're in this world and fear is real around us and frustration and garbage, injustice, chaos, disorder. I pray in the middle of all that storm, even in the middle of personal storms in our life, that you would find a people with the heart of Jesus. And Father, you would use us to stand for what is right no matter what comes down the pike. But Father, I have a feeling that the persecution one is at number 10 and not number 1, because unless we spend time with you, we're not going to know what's right. So, Father, help us to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's not multiple choice, God. We can't walk through this world without you. You are here, God, moving in our midst. And we worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. And Father, as always, every vehicle that's passing at this very present time and every vehicle that has passed, I pray that you are inviting them closer to yourself. I pray that they would see God, the loving, graceful, merciful God. And they would walk in your forgiveness. And Father, I pray that for our families. I pray for that for our coworkers. I pray for that for our nation, our state. God, you are working, and as we have already proclaimed, even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. Father, you used Pandora this week. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us in a very unique way this week, and we would come closer to you, and closer, and closer, and closer, because you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. And I want to look like Jesus. And I want us to look like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.